You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurleyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We've covered a lot today, but there's still a few stories here that I've been meaning to get to. We do have producer's picks at 2:30, so I'm not going to deprive you guys of that for a second day in a row. So let me get to these stories first. Back to the Andrew Cuomo of it all. He has officially lost Hillary Clinton, who now feels safe enough to jump on the bandwagon, as the post-millennial points out. They've been good friends for a while. You know, they're both really part of the swamp, the elite Democrat, white privileged people. And it seems that Hillary decided, nope, this is not good. There's no saving the Cuomo sinking ship. So she hopped off of it. And in other news, and I've been seeing that a lot of the like Fox and Newsmax and stuff, they're doing a lot of stories on this. And I do think it's important. What's happening at the border is not getting better. And it's amazing how people are surprised when you have a guy who's so weak on borders. Why are you surprised that all of these people are running to the borders and trying to get in? It makes sense. I would have been surprised if anything but that had happened. But right now, according to reports, HHS has more unaccompanied migrant children in custody than at any time in the UAC program's history. As of Friday, that number was 7,777. It's probably higher today. HHS shelters for these kids were at 97% capacity last week. But despite that, that sounds critical, you know, 97%. That's pretty damn high. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas insists there's no crisis at the border despite the thousands of illegal crossings a day. Let's play Mayorkas. This is cut three.
Do you believe that right now there's a crisis at the border?
I think that the answer is no. I think there is a challenge at the border that we are managing, and we have our resources dedicated to managing it.
And let's play cut four.
You said that we're handling them in the same way that the Trump administration did, and that is absolutely inaccurate.
The process that you articulated is
actually, the Trump administration expelled children to Mexico, and we are not expelling young children. We are not apprehending a 9-year-old child who's come alone, who's traversed Mexico, whose parents, whose loving parents had sent that child alone. We're not expelling that 9-year-old child to Mexico.
Wait a second. Whose loving parents have let their 9-year-old child cross the border without them illegally? That's a loving parent in this guy's eyes? And you know what's ironic about the whole thing? Besides the fact that these kids are having in-person learning, these kids in the migrant facilities, while American students are not, they're all on Zoom calls. The DHS secretary thinks that these parents who send their kids over by themselves are loving parents. But I can't help but think, what does he consider the parents who want schools to reopen? Are they callous? Do they not care about their children's health? Do they not know that this is racism and other isms to want your kids back at school? That's a wild, wild statement. Lisa, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to hear me because my phone seems to be going in and out.
You're good right now. Yeah, you're good, Lisa. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Okay. So earlier you were talking about the good news that came from that Swedish physician that was doing the studies.
Yes.
And you're commenting on how we don't like this good news. And I kind of liken it to, you think about somebody who wants to go in and rob a bank. They're not going to walk in and say, hey, I'm just here to take everybody's money. I don't have a gun. Don't worry, I'm not going to shoot anybody. They got to control people through fear.
Yeah.
And that's what all these people want to do. And the bigger the number of people you want to control, the more fear you've got to come up with. So COVID was great, but now that's not so good anymore. So now it's variants. And, oh, the vaccine might not work, so now we still need to do the mask. It's all about control. And until people are willing to say no, we're doomed, I think.
Lisa, that is a great point, and I really do appreciate the call. I agree. I mean, because otherwise, when it's something else they want, they're all about following the science. You know, when they want you to, drink, when they want you to, what was the thing Jared Bill Gates wants us to do? Drink urine or drink
water made out of feces.
Water made out of feces. They're all about, you know, following the science. But when the science says kids can go back to school, they suddenly don't care about the science. So they really only want you to follow the science as long as it supports their power-hungry, fear-mongering, economy-crushing decisions they want to make. And in the same way, they only want to tolerate different opinions as long as those opinions echo their narrative. And they only want you to believe all women as long as it's politically convenient, and the women don't include women like Tara Reid. They only want you to save the planet as long as you're eating synthetic meat and they're flying on private planes. They only want to celebrate diversity when the diversity toes their party line. They don't want to celebrate Dr. Ben Carson or Candace Owens. That doesn't work for them. Love Trump's hate unless you're holding the bloody mannequin of Donald Trump's head. Or you're bleeding. You're beating the crap out of Senator Rand Paul, breaking his ribs. Then love doesn't Trump hate. The list goes on and on and on. Zoom calls are what caring parents should want, unless you're head of the teachers union in Berkeley and you want to drop your kid off for in-person learning. You should be okay sacrificing social events and be okay sitting at a dinner table with three people for the rest of your life with a mask on, moving it up and down as you chew your food. But they want to go to French Laundry and, you know, celebrate historic days. It should be a national mandate that you can't be on federal property without wearing your face covering, unless, again, you're a beautiful person and you're celebrating. And then you can take your face covering off. It's all so predictable and it's all so clear. But like Lisa said, they're really banking on fear. And beyond fear, I think, because I'm not afraid, really, of any of this. You know, I fear for people. I do fear for people who have underlying conditions and things like that. But as far as myself, my own health, I'm not afraid. But I think what else they're banking on is people's sense of shame. And if they can guilt you into feeling like a bad person, that's a really powerful thing. You know, nobody wants to feel like they did something wrong or they don't care about people or they're a jerk. Some people don't care more than others, but most of us, we don't want to feel like that. That works for me all the time. You know, people will say, well, don't you care about grandmas and grandpas? Of course I do. So they're really utilizing that as well, this idea of shame. But I want to move on from that quickly here and just hit a couple of other stories. Lisa got me on a different track, but I do love that call. I have to talk here about La La Land. I was waiting all day yesterday for the ratings from the Golden Globes, and they did not disappoint, looking like an all-time low for NBC in early numbers. You ready for this? Coming in with a 1.2 rating in the adults 18 to 49 demographic and about 5.4 million viewers, the 2021 Globes telecast fell about 60% in both categories. 60%. Blame it on the Zoom. Not good. Not good by any account. I mean, I know that they're going to say, oh, it's a different year because of the pandemic. But yikes, that is still pretty rough. And when we get back on the other side, what I really want to talk about is Alec Baldwin. There's something about these New York guys, Cuomo, Baldwin, they're angry. They're angry. And when they're called out on their hypocrisy, that's when they get really mad. These Donnie Deutsch, New York tough guys. And Alec Baldwin is very upset. And I'm going to tell you why on the other side. Guys, my friends at Eden Pure know that winter is not over. They know we want it to be over, but it's not. It's not. I woke up this morning. It was freezing. My sister calls me up today. She goes, did you hear the wind last night? And there's nothing worse than that kind of wind when it's so cold out already. It's just shoving cold air in your face. Brutal. That's why for one day only, Eden Pure is having a huge sale on their Gen 40 heater. That's right. Today only, it's buy one, get one free. This is an incredible savings. Gas and oil prices have already skyrocketed. I don't have to tell you guys that. You know it. I mean, if you drive a car or if you have to fill up an oil heating system, it's or you get a bill from, you know, your heat, it's expensive. Everything's expensive now. I don't know why. I don't know what's changed over the last couple months. But Robert from the Cape says the Gen 40 heater performs like no other heater I've ever used. It's remarkable. The Eden Pure Gen 40 costs less to run. You may be working from home now and have noticed the increase in heating bills, but with this deal, this will pay for itself in a matter of days. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPure.com and use code word GRACEBOGO. That is a this is a one day only sale because it is a huge sale. They don't usually do BOGO for the Gen 40s. So EdenPure.com, don't forget code word GRACEBOGO. It's a great time of year to have this, so don't miss out. 844-500-4242. We're talking Baldwin on the other side, one of my favorite celebrities to talk about. So do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. This is a story I have been waiting for all day long. Saving it for the very end. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. It is one day only, buy one, get one. Winter is not over. It was 13 degrees this morning, so take advantage of this incredible offer. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACEBOGO. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which woke story is the craziest? Dr. Seuss, Mr. Potato Head, or the Muppet?
I'm going to say Dr. Seuss because I never really was a big fan of the Muppets. And Mr. Potato Head just doesn't, you know, have as much of an impact as Dr. Seuss. So I'm going to say Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss is in the lead at 51%.
Oh, okay. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Mr. Potato Head at 36 and the Muppets just polling at 14%.
I don't think a lot of people are Muppets people. I'm going to be honest with you. I get them confused with the Sesame Street characters. It never was my thing. Okay, let's talk Alec Baldwin. You guys know that celebrity gossip, as much as I try to tear myself away from it, it really is my bread and butter. And this story about Hilaria was hilarious. She is from Boston. She pretended for a very long time, or she kind of implied that she was Spanish. And she's not. Everybody kind of caught on to it. Videos started circulating of her saying things like how you say cucumber and kind of putting on a fake accent. And eventually she got called out. And that was what prompted a very bizarre video from an angry Alec Baldwin, who you'd think could take it since he dishes it out at Trump every other day. But we know he can't take it. He's thin skinned. Remember the amount of fights he gets into if someone takes his parking spot? The guy has no barometer for like what's worth overreacting to and what's not. So it shouldn't surprise people that when his wife's character is called into question, he flies off the handle. He made a very bizarre Instagram post a few months ago when this started, where he said that you couldn't trust the people telling you this, that you had to consider the source.
Consider the source.
And we were all kind of like, okay, but the sources are just, are the sources that you usually trust when you're bashing Trump. So why can't we trust them now? And this story today, it gets even wackier. So Alec and Hilaria were back on social media and they were sharing the exciting news of their surprise sixth child. Page Six reported the Baldwins are keeping quiet on the details surrounding the birth of baby number six, though many assume the couple used a surrogate or adopted, as 37-year-old Hilaria gave birth to their fifth child in September. So the timing-wise, people figured she can't, you know, she couldn't have actually carried the baby. And I don't really care either way. I'm not curious. I don't care how people go about having their kids. It's their business. But it's the internet. So people are trolls and people do ask questions. One person commented on the Instagram, "Who's the mother? She wasn't pregnant. She gave birth 6 months ago. If it was a surrogate, just say that. If the baby was adopted, just say that. If the baby was the product of an affair and you've decided to raise it with your wife, just say that. If you don't want to say anything, why don't you both stop constantly posting and begging for clickbait? Just raise your 100 children in private." So, disparaging comment. No truth behind it as far as those claims are concerned, but it was just a troll on Instagram. He snapped back and said, "You should shut the bleep up and mind your own business." Now, that one, I don't think is as unreasonable, because the lady was, you know, she was really coming for them and, you know, implying a lot of things that she has no credibility with. But this next one really made me laugh, because another commenter brought up Hilaria's Spanish heritage scandal and wondered why anyone cared that the yoga instructor born Hillary Hayward Thomas changed her name. So the person was basically saying, like, what's the big deal? Why are people so mean to you about this? He also had to reply back to that person, and this was his response. "Because basically they're not very smart. Americans are people who know less about how to live a peaceful, healthy life than most of the civilized world." You heard that right, Jared. Jared's looking at me with shock. That is a real statement from Alec Baldwin.
Okay. And what?
I mean, he just, his anger issues. But the funny part about that is, I love when people, like, especially Hollywood types, talk about Americans like they're not Americans. This is what got you into the situation in the first place, was your hatred for just being an American. If Hilaria had just owned up to the fact that she just was an American and didn't try to be, you know, more interesting by pretending to be Spanish, you guys wouldn't have had this PR nightmare. You guys are Americans. It's like the scene where George Costanza complains to Elaine that she set him up with a woman who's bald, and Elaine says to George, "You're bald." Like, do you understand that? Alec Baldwin was born in New York. Hillary was born in Boston. She pretended she was born in Mallorca. Maybe because she thinks that people from Mallorca are very smart and they know more about how to live a peaceful, healthy life than us ugly Americans. They never learn the error of their ways. Because that would require some self-reflection, and that would require a little bit of humility. They just double and triple down. And so that's what he says to this person. Basically, they're not very smart. Americans are people who know less about how to live a peaceful, healthy life than most of the civilized world. Is that why you guys pretend to not be Americans? Is that why your wife put on this entire fake identity so she could look more civilized than the rest of us? Oh, by the way, Alec, us Americans, you know, you've done pretty well by us. A lot of people, you know, watched your TV shows and paid to go see your movies. But I think Alec knows that that gravy train's coming to an end. The Americans are a little bit tired of his act. We'll be back on the other side with producer's picks. Do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Being miserable and treating other people like dirt is every New Yorker's God-given right.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I'm so excited for this next segment because I can sit back, relax, and let Jared Diglio take over. It is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
All righty, without further ado, Jared, take it away.
So, as we have mentioned several times, and it's even in the poll question today, Dr. Seuss has been canceled. And despite the insane debate going on behind me in the control room about Dr. Seuss or Dr. Zayas, no, or however you're supposed to say it,
I'm getting a lot of backlash from the people in the green room, my coworkers, who are telling me that it is Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Or Seuss. Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss?
Is the pronunciation.
Yikes. Anyway, Dr. Seuss has been canceled, as we know, in the Biden administration for Reading Across America Day, which is, honestly, every year it's just a bunch of Dr. Seuss because it's on his birthday.
Yeah, yeah, it's Dr. Seuss's birthday today, and that's usually why he gets a lot of, you know, attention on his birthday, as most of us do.
And props to Ted Cruz, the bearded wonder, who at 1:30 tweeted out, "Happy birthday, Dr. Seuss," with an animated GIF of the Cat in the Hat holding balloons. So another excellent troll job.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of sad that that's even considered a troll job.
Well, that's where we are now on Twitter.
I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about where we are right now in 2021.
But the internet is forever, and there is this video when the soul of the White House, I believe Radiance was her nickname, or Secret Service name, or Renaissance, one of the two, Michelle Obama, was out there for National Reading Day reading to children.
I'm excited, too. You know who saw this book this morning before he got on a helicopter? The president. We love Dr. Seuss in our house.
Oh, ouch.
To be fair, though, she had no idea how crazy the Democrats were going to become in the next couple of years. I mean, back then, there were so many things were not canceled yet that are canceled now.
Speaking of cancel culture, you may remember J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter series and everything associated with that.
Yes, I do.
Yes, she had, there was a brouhaha when she made a comment about transgender people, and basically she got canceled for that, and Harry Potter had to be canceled. Well, the world, the woke culture has come back, and they have faced J.K. Rowling, because the Harry Potter game will include transgender characters after the controversy.
Now, I was reading a piece on this today, not on this story exactly, but on the transgender, you know, movement in America. And it really should be noted that it needs to be, and this could be said about a lot of topics right now, but we need to be able to talk about it and talk about different opinions and without, you know, canceling people or without telling people that they're transphobic. There has to be conversations, especially when you have some public officials like Dr. Levine, you know, promoting puberty blockers and things like that, which a lot of people think are very dangerous for young kids. This has to be something that we can have an open conversation about. And I'm fearful that no one will, because they don't want to be on the wrong side of this, or what's perceived to be the wrong side. And they don't want to get in trouble or seem mean and hateful. But it is a huge topic, and you're going to see it more and more as more transgender people get to partake in female sports. That's going to be a bigger issue. And this isn't something that's going to be less controversial as time goes on. So people just have to open their minds to at least having a conversation, even if people disagree with them.
Yes, Bloomberg reported Tuesday that the video game Hogwarts Legacy, which will be released next year, will allow players to customize their character's voice, body type, and gender placement for the school dormitories. So does that mean there's no sorting hat anymore? That's what I want to know.
Does J.K. Rowling think that this is going to save her? Like, she'll get invited back to the cocktail parties?
Reading this, it doesn't sound like she even had anything to do with it.
Oh, so the Harry Potter world is trying to make amends for her discretions. Understood.
Yes.
That makes more sense.
Yes. So,
because I like J.K. Rowling. She doesn't, I'm pretty sure she's a big liberal, but she doesn't back down to the mob, which nowadays, I don't care what your beliefs are, but if you stand up to the mob and if you believe what you believe, I immediately give you kudos.
You're not liberal enough. You are canceled.
You are exiled. Goodbye.
So I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, everything is being done by Zoom these days, including court appearances. Last week, I think, or the week before, there was the lawyer that had the cat face or the cat filter or whatever. And, you know, it became a thing. Yeah. Well, a California doctor had a court appearance on Zoom, and he actually did the Zoom call court appearance while performing plastic surgery on a patient.
Oh.
And of course, as elective surgeries and other things that are not COVID have been, you know, put off for the year because of COVID.
Sorry, Jared, do we know what kind of surgery it was?
It was cosmetic surgery in the chesteal area.
Okay. Breast augmentation.
Yes, breast augmentation.
And he's on a Zoom call. It's a court appearance?
It's a court appearance, yes.
Now, my number one question, if I'm getting this surgery, is why is my doctor going to court? Is that explained at all?
It was a traffic violation.
Okay.
And I can tell you, California, Los Angeles especially, they take their traffic violations seriously. I got a $164 ticket because I was walking in the crosswalk as the time was counting down.
Yeah.
Corruption, I say. I beat the rap.
If they could only crack down on the poop all over the sidewalks as much as they're cracking down on the jaywalking on the crosswalk. What do you call walking on a crosswalk? It's not jaywalking. It's just walking.
Yes, it is literally walking, but apparently it was done maliciously.
So this doctor is performing a breast augmentation, and he's also multitasking, Renaissance man. He's also at his court appearance via Zoom about a traffic violation.
Yes.
I would be so unnerved if I was that woman and found out. I would be not happy about that. First of all, is she in the shot?
No, she is not in the shot.
How does that work?
Well, I think the assistants were doing some of the surgery, and he was more handing them tools. But he was doing a little bit of work, but she was not in the shot, so her HIPAA privacy is protected.
Listen. I am all for killing two birds with one stone. Okay. If I have some business calls to make, I will encourage people to call me when I'm driving into work so that when I get here, I can focus on stories. I'm all about doing two things at once to an extent, you know, taking a phone call on your Bluetooth while you're driving doesn't seem to be that big a deal. Performing a major surgery on someone where they're knocked out and also fighting a traffic violation. Do we know what kind of traffic violation it was?
I don't know what kind of. I would assume it was a vehicle violation. Or it could have been breaking COVID curfew. I don't know if that's considered a traffic violation.
No, I don't have. You have to be a really, really good doctor. I'm guessing he's either a really good doctor or he's really, really gives a good price on breast augmentations, but that's an insane story. I would not be happy about that. I would want my money back.
And generally don't go down the sports, especially with the NBA, because the league has become so woke. But March 2nd, 1962, Wilt Chamberlain, who was playing for the Philadelphia Warriors at the time, scored 100 points in a 48-minute game.
Wow.
Nobody has even come close. The closest has been in the 80s. I think somebody scored 85. And I know he was playing against guys that were no taller than 6'7". He was a giant at the time. But 100 points in a 48-minute game is pretty impressive.
That is.
And in other sports, we have to local kid, sort of. Patrice Bergeron, the Bruins, you know, the NHL has been the least annoyingly woke
yes.
of all the leagues, and I give them props, and they're the one league I'll still check in and on time to time. Friday night in New York against the New York Rangers, Patrice Bergeron scored a goal and passed Robert Gordon Orr, Bobby Orr, on the Bruins' all-time scoring list to enter the top five.
Number four, Bobby Orr. Wow, now, I like Patrice Bergeron a lot. He's been with the Bruins for a very long time.
17 years.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is Bobby Orr only played 10 years. And it took Bergeron 7 extra years. Now, I understand the game is different, whatever. But, yeah, so Patrice Bergeron has now passed Robert Gordon Orr.
Nice. Good for you, Patrice. I like him a lot. I think, now, Jared, again, I don't know a lot about sports, so I could be wrong on this. But according to Will, who is a diehard Bruins fan, Patrice had said back in the day that he wanted to be a Bruin for the rest of his career.
Yes, he did, and he should be.
And that's a pretty rare thing to say now. Most guys just go based off the contract, but he's committed.
Oh, whoa, we have some breaking news.
Oh, okay.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott announces it is now time to open Texas 100%.
Woo-hoo! Howdy! Yeah!
Roll them doggies!
Giddy up! Good. It's time to open Massachusetts, too. But, you know, we're about 2 years behind Texas and everything. So maybe 2 years from today, we'll be celebrating that.
This is also Texas Independence Day, by the way.
It's crazy that we are almost a year, the year anniversary of when the world went into the full lockdown, the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And I was just talking to someone about this, and you do remember that weird 2 week period really well, because we were all very unsure of what was happening. We really all did buy into, like, oh yeah, 2 weeks, like, we can do it. You know, I remember there was a lot of talk about, think about what people have done, you know, on the beaches of Normandy. You can sit on your couch for 2 weeks. And there was this sense that if we do this and commit, this will be done for. And another part of it that everyone remembers vividly was Tiger King. That was big in the news. A lot of people started baking bread during yes. that 2 weeks.
Good, decent, patriotic people did their duty for their country and willingly and knowingly stepped aside and shut everything down for 2 weeks.
And watched Tiger King. I never liked those comparisons because I was like, first of all, let's not put ourselves in the category of, you know what I mean? Like, we're sitting
right.
on
no,
our
no,
couches.
No. You're not at the beaches of Normandy, but still, you were doing your patriotic duty and they trampled all over you. And they just grabbed it and they never let go.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of wish that we had all said from the get-go, like, I don't think you guys can do this. But it is interesting. We'll be coming up on the 1 year. I cannot believe. I never underestimate the power hungriness of these politicians and just how terrible they can be. But I really didn't think that they would milk it for this long. Guys, we'll be back on the other side with the car crossover. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Well, I must say, to Claire's point, I'm increasingly embarrassed to be a white male these days. Light of what I see of my other white males saying.
Nicole Wallace took a break from having Rick Wilson and all the guys from the Lincoln Project on and decided to have John Brennan on to talk about how he's ashamed of being a white male. Why don't you leave white men out of it, John? I don't think that they have anything to do with it. Now, guys, it's time for the car crossover, and it's brought to you by McConnell's Irish Whiskey. You'll know when you take your first sip, some things are worth the wait. Also, Howie, McConnell's Whiskey is supporting your studio VIP visits once you return. The first will be Tuesday, May 4th. You can enter to win your chance to win a free VIP visit. Just go to HowieKarcher.com. Click on the McConnell's Irish Whiskey banner. I want to let people know, because you might hear about this and go, well, what does that include? It's really amazing. We're going to pick three winners to win the VIP tickets. Each winner gets to bring a guest. You'll get a batch of Howie Carr's books. You'll get a McConnell Whiskey gift basket. This is a $400 value, and it's our last year doing the VIPs at this studio that we're currently in. So enter to win at HowieCarrShow.com. Click on that banner. Howie Carr, are you here for the car crossover?
It's a hell of an opportunity to
exactly.
go to the... Jesus, don't miss out on this opportunity.
Howie, I have this story that I found today because you encouraged me last week, and I think it was very good advice. Howie said, you know, it doesn't hurt to look at the local newspaper once in a while. And I did that today, and I did find a story that stuck out to me. A.G. Mara Healy sues orthodontist for keeping kids in braces longer than needed and scamming Mass Health out of millions. Did you see this story, Howie?
No, I haven't seen that story yet. Oh, it's part of it. But if it's scamming Mass Health, I mean, that's kind of different than just, you know, her deciding to be an orthodontist without license.
Without borders.
Without portfolio.
Yeah, well, Howie, brace yourself. Because this story...
Brace myself?
Yes. It's pretty wild.
Get it? Brace?
An orthodontist kept kids in braces longer than necessary. The defendant, Dr. Muhab Rizala, runs 6 practices under the name The Braces Place. But Howie, this is the part that I thought was the craziest. I mean, you could really say of, you know, anything. People always complain like, oh, my kid's still in braces. You know, it takes a long time.
It's more likely to be the kids that are complaining, not the parents, isn't it?
Exactly. But listen to this, okay? The suit also states that the doctor billed MassHealth for custom sports mouthguards that did not exist. The complaint says that he told his staff to cut the $9.99 price tag off of prefabricated retail mouthguards, gave them to patients, and billed MassHealth up to $95 for each one.
What is this guy's name again? What's his first name?
Dr. Rizkala.
Honest Rizkala's custom-made mouthguards.
The AG's office says the MassHealth paid Dr. Rizkala over $1 million for the mouthguards, which brings us to our next question. Howie Carr, when are you getting into the mouthguard industry?
I know. There's an opening now for Honest Howie's mouthguards. For $1,000, we will give you an autographed mouthguard.
Exactly. And you know what
happened? I don't know who'll autograph it, but whoever you want it to be autographed by, it'll be, including Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, any of the people whose autographs are now hard to get.
I told Howie this once. My grandmother used to give us baseballs for Christmas, and she would sign them Babe Ruth, you know, anyone. Nomar Garciaparra, like anyone, she would just sign them. And then one day my mom brought them all to the dump because she knew they were... You know, they were worthless. And so she threw them at the dump. And she said to me, some old guy is going to find those baseballs and think he just stumbled onto a treasure trove.
I know. I told you I have an autographed Babe Ruth ball from my uncle, but he made the mistake of putting a piece of scotch tape on it. So it's I don't think it's less valuable because the scotch tape faded. It's old style scotch tape. It's a shame.
Howie, what do you got coming up on the show today?
I think we're going to talk about Dr. Seuss. I tried to order some Dr. Seuss books this morning. Some of the I thought I had ordered and to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street, but then I got a notice like an hour later that book was gone. I think they decided, you know, $6 was not nearly enough money for it, so they told me it was gone. And I couldn't. The only McGilligan's Pool I could find for under $200 was in Spanish.
Well,
so I passed on that too.
But Howie, I was talking about this today, and one of the callers was like, well, you know, it's the publishers are deciding it. Don't you, as a conservative, think that that's their right? I said, yeah, they can do whatever they want, but I can say that it's dumb. Like, I can disagree and say that these books are fine.
I read yesterday this thing from the Virginia School District that said research in recent years has shown this is racist. It's been out, the books have been out for 70 years, McGilligan's Pool and Mulberry Street, right? They just discovered that they're racist?
Howie, they canceled this, they canceled that. Now they're canceling The Cat in the Hat. Howie Carr will be up right after this. Do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.